Hey, and welcome to the Joy Church podcast. If you'd like more information, check us out at www.joychurchnh.com or visit us in person at 55 Barnstead Road, Pittsfield, New Hampshire. We hope you enjoy and are blessed by this message, and now on to this week's sermon.
Easter once again. I know we've said it many times. He is risen. You can always tell the people who have been in church forever because they say he is risen indeed. It's not like a secret handshake. It's just something that we do. And if you're new, that's fine. Now you know the secret. He is risen. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Easter week is really an interesting week when you try to put ourselves in the time and place of Jesus, of when he was on earth. We had the victory and the triumph of Palm Sunday, walking into the city with all the people shouting praises and hosannas to his name, putting him on the colt, on the donkey, and having him come into the city as a triumphant king, expecting the greatest things from him. And this, not 5 days later, the same folks were screaming and hollering and pointing and saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." What a week! And that's just what they did. They put him on the cross and they crucified him. And they thought it was over. The disciples all bolted. Everybody dispersed and they assumed it was over. It was over. So Friday, you know, we celebrated, but we observed Good Friday here Friday night, and we talked about the somberness and the seven last words of Jesus. But what about Saturday? What about Saturday? Do you ever try to put yourself in the shoes of his disciples and think about Saturday? The silence of Saturday, right? After the crucifixion, it has to be one of the most hopeless and confusing days and times for the disciples, right? How could God let this happen? Why did a good man have to go through so much pain and torture? And they even wondered, did I waste my life? Did I waste these last 3 years of my life following this man? And now it's just all over. And then Saturday came, and there were no answers. There were no angelic appearances. Just silence. That silence probably led them to think even more. It is over. It's over. It's done. But God. God was at work this entire time. And the silence of Saturday erupted into a celebration of Resurrection Sunday morning. And here's something that I can promise you, because I've read it in the scriptures and I've seen it in some of the lives of the folks around here. Don't let go when God is silent. Don't let go when he's silent, right? When he's just setting the stage for a celebration that's about to occur, and a celebration that's immeasurably more than all we could ever ask or imagine. Just because God is silent doesn't mean that God is absent. He's working. He's working. And this is the whole gift of Easter. This is what it's all about. God working in our lives. And Resurrection Sunday, Jesus rising from the grave, walking out, just like the song says, coming out of the grave, alive and free. I love that song that we finished up with. I asked Jocelyn if we could do that. Rattle. Even though it's based on a story from the Old Testament, a book of Ecclesiastes, it makes me think about miracles and the miracle of Jesus walking out of that grave, the miracle defeating death. But it also makes me think about the miracles in this room. I know that there are miracles in this room. I know so many of you, and I know how God has worked in your lives. And in a lot of cases, he saved your very life by giving you the miracle just when it was needed. And I am 100% convinced God's not done with miracles in this room. He's still working. He's still doing the things. Maybe you think he's silent. Maybe you think he's gone. Maybe you think he's dead and in the grave, but he is working. He's working the miracles in this room. So don't ever lose hope. Don't ever lose hope, church. God is working. All right. So that's the pre-sermon. And I know a lot of you are thinking, let's just call it a day then. Got ham in the oven. But we're going to be talking about the gift of Easter. We're talking about the gift of Easter this morning. So before we do that, let's just bow our heads and have a moment of prayer. God, we thank you for Easter morning. We thank you that you are alive, that Jesus rose from that dead. He walked out of the grave, and he's alive in us today. God, we celebrate that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the gift of Easter, and before you think, you know, I'm crazy that, you know, the gifts are for Christmas, right? That's when we talk about gifts, not Easter. Well, hear me out, because Christmas is a time for gifts. I don't disagree with you on that, but so is Easter. So is Easter as a time for gifts. You know, you might say, well, don't we think about sacrifice at Easter? I mean, we talk about Jesus sacrificing his life on the cross and rising again on Easter. And yes, we do. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me. Hebrews 12:2 says he was enduring the cross and despising the shame for you and me. So yes, it was a time for sacrifice. It is a time for sacrifice. And don't we give up things for Lent, sacrifice some of the things that we love for Lent? Yes, Easter is a time for sacrifice. But my goal today is to show you that we can think of God's gifts when we think of Easter, just like we do when we think of Christmas. Christmas truly is a gift. It's a gift of the baby in a manger, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, right? But to see the story holistically, to see what God does holistically in our lives, to give us the hope that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection gives us, we need to include Easter as well as Christmas. It's all part of that gift. Without Easter, the baby in the manger is incomplete. And without the baby in the manger, there would be no Easter. We really can't consider one without the other. It's a both and. It's both and. Besides that, I'm an and kind of a guy. Right? I don't like to think or. I like to think and. After all, raise your hands. How many want peanut butter or jelly? Right? Peanut butter and jelly, right? Mac or cheese? No. No. Mac and cheese, right? It's an and world, rock or roll. Come on, these guys that are my age, you know, it's rock and roll, right? Yeah, it's an and world we live in. Ben or Jerry? No, give me the whole deal, right? Ben and Jerry. So today we're going to talk about the and of Easter. We're talking about the gift of Christmas, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and we're talking about the gift of Easter, a risen Savior who lives in us today. The old song, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. He walks with me and he talks with me. In all honesty, there are so many gifts from God in this Easter season. The gift of Palm Sunday, minus the gift of a Palm Sunday snowstorm. That gift we didn't really like so much. But God's on the throne, right? And he brought us here today. We have the gift of resurrection that sets us free. Jesus walked out of the grave, resurrected. We forget, we've heard the story so many times, and we forget that he was dead as you can be. And he walked out of that grave, resurrected. And that's a gift to us. That's a gift that sets us free from the feelings that we all have at one time or another of not being enough. We're enough for him to die for and to walk out of the grave for. He set us free from some of the repeating patterns of our parents and grandparents for generations. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. He sets us free, the gift of Easter. He sets us free from anxiety and depression. Man, the world is just covered up with anxiety and depression. Watch the news. Better yet, don't watch the news. I come that you might have life and have it in abundance, Jesus says. Doesn't sound like depression and anxiety to me, but there's miracles in this room. He set us free from death itself. Just ask Lazarus. Just ask Jairus' daughter. Just ask that stone that was rolled away. He sets us free. Easter is a season for gifts. So I want to focus on three specific gifts of Easter today as we talk through these things. And three of these gifts that I feel like changed the world. I know they changed my world. They changed my life. And I think they can change all of our lives as we consider these three gifts of Easter. First, Easter gives us the gift of an empty tomb. The gift of an empty tomb, right? John 20. Verses 1 through 9. John 20, verses 1 through 9. We read the resurrection story early on Sunday morning. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. I always love that. Can I just take a break here? This is the book of John, and this is John talking about himself, the one who Jesus loved. He was right. He just forgot to mention he loves all of us the same, right? Okay, she said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Just to add a little tidbit of trivia, John was faster than Peter. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. They believed when they saw that Jesus was no longer there. The tomb was empty. Think about that. How many of us, we have people in our lives, in our families who have gone on before us and they've passed away, and we go to the cemetery and we put flowers on their grave, or we honor them in some way. What would you do if you got there and it was empty? It was empty. Jesus had predicted his death many times, right? His burial, his resurrection, at least five times throughout the Gospels. Jesus had talked about that very clearly and very, very plainly. And his disciples just didn't get it, right? In the book of Mark 9, chapter 9, let me look that up real quick here. Mark 9, he was very clear. If I can find it. He was very clear about his death and burial and resurrection that was coming up. Mark 9, where is that? My goodness. 31 and 32. I'll get there. He says, the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of his enemies. He will be killed, but 3 days later he will rise from the dead. This is Jesus speaking about himself. It says they didn't understand what he was saying. They didn't understand. So Jesus predicted his death. He told his disciples, this is going to happen, guys. It's going to happen. They're going to arrest me. They're going to torture me. They're going to kill me. They're going to bury me. But I'm going to walk out of that grave on the third day. So on the first Easter, this very first deep Easter, the disciples had already bailed on Jesus, and the women who were followers of Jesus as well were the only ones to show up at the grave that morning. Mary and Mary Magdalene, they showed up at the grave, and they were expecting to find his body there. Why did they show up at the grave expecting to find Jesus' body there? Because dead things stay dead. Dead things stay dead. They fully expected that Jesus would be there. They didn't get it, his teachings earlier. But he wasn't there. He was risen. And let me just say this one thing. Any guy who predicts his own death and resurrection and carries it off, that's going to be my guy. That's going to be my guy, right? And that's what Jesus did. So this gift of an empty tomb, it can really be looked at as a gift of hope. A gift of hope for all of us. Easter brings that hope to us. Jesus said in John 11, I'm the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. This hope that we come because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Amen. And while evil was lurking and there was darkness on that Good Friday, while there was silence on Saturday, God was working and God was planning the glory of Resurrection Sunday. There's hope behind that fact. There's hope behind the fact that regardless of how things look for you right now, regardless of circumstances around you, it might look tough, it might look rough, it might look like you've got a bad road ahead, but regardless of that, there is hope. Maybe your finances are in tough shape, in rough shape, and you don't know how you're going to do it. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks, in rough shape, in tough shape, and you don't know how you're going to come out of it. Maybe your adult kids are out of control, just doing their own thing, and you're so worried and concerned about them and don't know how it's going to work out. No matter what these things look like, we always have hope because of the empty tomb. Regardless of what's going on, the darkness, the fear, the sadness, the worry, the anxiety, we have hope in the fact that God is working even when things look hopeless. God is working even when there's silence. Even though we're caught in the darkness of Good Friday and the silence of Saturday, we can know that Resurrection Sunday is right around the corner. Pain may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. The tomb was empty. Death was defeated. Death is defeated. Our Savior lives. Easter is the gift of an empty tomb. And that gift gives us hope in the future. Easter also gives us a gift of mission. The gift of mission. And I'm not talking about sending missionaries around the world because that's a thing and that's a very important thing, a very good thing. But I'm talking about a mission in life, a mission for me and one for you, a guiding force that we're led to by Jesus to fulfill this mission that he's called us to. Jesus had himself had a mission here on earth, right? A mission that led him to the cross. Can you imagine this mission that he had that led him directly to the cross on that first Good Friday, that first Easter weekend? It was not an accident that he ended up there. It wasn't an accident. God wasn't surprised and shocked and, oh my goodness, they've got Jesus. What are we going to do? No, this was Jesus' mission. This was his purpose. This is why he came. That's why he came. God wasn't surprised. He was sent on that mission. Jesus spoke of his mission throughout his time here on earth, right? He spoke many times. Like I said, the five times that he told his disciples, I'm going to be murdered and I'm going to rise from the dead. But even way before that, 3 years prior to that, when he was first becoming a public figure, when he was first stepping into the temple to speak and to teach, and he said something like, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. 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 That's Jesus' purpose for being here. He stated that publicly. He stated it very clearly for us at the beginning of his ministry time here on earth. And how many of us now today, or maybe in the past in our lives, how many of us were poor in spirit and we needed to hear the truth of the gospel preached? Jesus preached it with his life and with his action as well as with his words. How many of us have had broken hearts that needed to be healed? How many of us were captive to our own devices and we need liberty from Jesus? Captive to our thoughts of being less than, captive to the negative habits that our parents might have had and taught us, captive to the harsh and horrible words that have been spoken over us. How many of us have been captive to that? Captive to our habits, our overindulgences, our addictions. How many of us have been blinded by the circumstances of the day and need to have our sight restored, the sight of hope? How many are oppressed and need freedom? Today, Jesus is proclaiming over you that you are enough. You are not a victim of your past. You're not a victim of your past. You have a future in Him, that He has a plan and a mission for you, and His mission and His plan is good. Those words spoken over you were a lie. Those harsh words, those horrible words, maybe it was a teacher, maybe a coach, maybe even a parent. Those harsh words that they spoke to you and spoke over you were a lie from the pit of hell. That's not who you are. God shows us who we are. That blindness that prevents you from seeing the truth has been healed. The oppression that we feel, the anxiety, the depression, the heaviness of the world around us because of Jesus and because of the empty tomb and because of his mission here on earth, that depression is going straight back to the pit of hell where it came from. That's the gift of Jesus' mission for us. He came to provide the way out. He came to provide healing. He came to provide that miracle that's still in this room for you. The miracles that we have on our miracle board. I need a miracle. And the answers on the brag board of the miracles that Jesus has done in this church, in our lives. The mission of Jesus is a gift of Easter. The empty tomb is a gift of Easter. And finally, thirdly, there's the gift of new life, a gift of salvation, right? Jesus had an encounter once when he was on earth. He had this encounter with a man named Zacchaeus. And that's an interesting story. If you grew up in Sunday school, you probably know that Zacchaeus was a wee little man. He was a short guy. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Some of us are just not as tall as others. So Zacchaeus, this wee little man, Jesus was coming to town, and Zacchaeus was excited because he had heard about Jesus. He had heard about this man who did miracles and who taught and who loved people and cared for people and loved them right where they are. And so Zacchaeus was curious. Who is this guy? I want to see him. Now, Zacchaeus was a tax collector, though. And if you're not familiar with that period of time and how things worked, the Romans were over Israel. They were ruling Israel. They were oppressing Israel. And they hired these tax collectors who were Jewish people from Israel to collect the taxes. And part of the deal was you collect as much as you want and give us what we ask for, and the rest is all yours. And so Zacchaeus took great advantage of that. Zacchaeus was a very wealthy man, stealing from his own people. But Zacchaeus was also a very lonely man because he was stealing from his own people, though, right? And so Jesus comes walking through the town, and Zacchaeus heard about him, and he couldn't see Jesus for all these annoying tall people who were in front of him along the road. And so Zacchaeus finds this sycamore tree and climbs up in it just to get a glimpse of who this Jesus is. What does he look like? Who is he? What's he going to say? What's he going to do? Is he going to heal somebody? What's going on here? Some of us were curious about this Jesus that we hear about, that we know the stories, and we know that we can read about the miracles and hear about the miracles, but we're curious because we don't know how it impacts us. And so that was Zacchaeus. He was up in this tree, and he just wanted to get a glimpse and to hear and to see who Jesus was. And Jesus saw Zacchaeus and says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, I'm coming over to your house, and I'm going to have dinner." Wow. Jesus, this tax collector, this man who was despised by his countrymen, this man who stole and became very rich off the taxes of his own people. Jesus saw him looking at him. He saw the curiosity, and Jesus didn't say to Zacchaeus, he didn't say, "Zacchaeus, go and kind of clean your life up a little bit and change a little bit because your people look down on you and they really despise you." And, you know, Jesus said, you know, he didn't say, "I don't want to hurt my reputation." No, Jesus said, "Zacchaeus, come down out of that tree. We're getting together. I'm coming to your house to have a little bit of dinner or lunch." And we notice that Zacchaeus did not have to clean up his life at all. He didn't have to go and right the wrongs before meeting Jesus that day. Jesus was right there. He accepted him. He invited himself over that day. Just as it's important to know that Zacchaeus didn't clean up before he met Jesus, it's also important to know that Zacchaeus didn't have to invite Jesus into his life. Jesus was there, and he says, "I'm coming. What's for dinner?" Thinking about doing that some of these days after church. You say, "Hey, you, coming to dinner at your place. What are we having?" Right? It's just important to notice that Zacchaeus didn't invite Jesus. Jesus invited himself. In Luke 19:5, he says, "Quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." So many times we hear people, and I've heard people, as I've been a pastor, say, "Oh, you know, here this happened and this happened, and I found Jesus." I don't think any of us found Jesus. I think Jesus found us. Jesus finds us. He comes into our world and into our lives, and he says, "Hey, you, I'm coming to dinner with you. I'm coming to live with you. I'm coming to change your world." He's relentless in that. He invites himself into our lives relentlessly. And I can't believe that it was just coincidence that Jesus was saying this, that he was saying, "I'm coming to your house, Zacchaeus." I don't think it was like one of those times, you know, you've had those times, I have too, where we see somebody and haven't seen them for a while, and we're like, "Hey, yeah, let's get together sometime. You know, let's get together for a coffee," knowing full well that it's not going to happen, right? Am I the only one? Yeah, it happens. Jesus was very intentional. He wasn't just trying to make conversation. "I'm coming to your house. I'm coming to your house." And I believe that Jesus might be doing that in some of our lives today, even as we've worshiped him and we've considered Good Friday, we considered Easter week, the Passion Week, and we consider the resurrection. I believe that Jesus is speaking into our hearts and our lives today, saying, "I'm coming into your heart. Let me in. Let me give you this gift of salvation. Let me give you this gift of new life, the gift that changes our lives, changes the world for us, changes the world for our families, changes the world for our children and our children's children and their children as well for generations. The gift of salvation is a gift that impacts the world." And the greatest news about this gift of salvation is that it truly is a gift. Our part, our job, the work we have to do, well, really, there is no work we have to do. We just accept the gift of salvation that Jesus is offering us, right? We just have to kind of be like Zacchaeus and say, okay, Jesus, I guess you're coming in. Come on in and change my world. And it's interesting to note that after this encounter that Jesus and Zacchaeus had a very abrupt change of heart, change of life, giving away all that he had stolen, giving back to the poor, because Jesus changed his world. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He lives today, and through the presence of the Holy Spirit, he's here with us today. Imagine that. All these years later, Jesus is here with us today. And the scripture that we put on the back wall is, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the same Jesus that walked out of that tomb is here with us today. The same Jesus that walks out of the tomb is here with us today. I thought we would hear some amens about that and get excited about that. The great thing is that he doesn't wonder why you're here. Maybe you haven't been to church for years. Maybe you've never been to church. And Jesus isn't sitting there wondering, well, I wonder why they showed up. I know what they did last week. What in the world are they doing at church, right? I don't think Jesus is thinking about that. I think Jesus is saying, I came to seek and to save. The same things he said about Zacchaeus. I came to seek and to save those who are lost. Came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's you and that's me. He came to seek and to save and to come into our lives to change us and make us a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. His grace and his mercy are part of who he is. And he's here today, and his grace and his mercy are speaking to us today, speaking to all of us in one way or the other, saying something to you and saying something to me. Something like, hey, I'm so glad that you're here. Do you know that somebody is glad that you're here today? Maybe you just were dragged here and you're just biding time between now and ham dinner. But maybe you, who knows, you might be somebody's miracle here today, the miracle that they've been praying for. There's miracles in this room. And here we are, Jesus saying, I came to seek and to save. Jesus didn't say, oh, your life is too messed up. Sorry, you're the one. You're the one that's too messed up. I can't do anything for you. Jesus isn't saying that. His grace and his mercy are much bigger than anything we've ever done. Today, maybe Jesus is saying something to you as he's inviting himself into your life, into your world. Maybe you're hearing him say something along the lines of what Eugene Peterson paraphrased in The Message, his version of the Bible from Matthew. Are you tired? Picture Jesus saying this to you, not to a friend, not to your spouse, but to you. Are you tired? Worn out? Are you burned out on religion? That's a whole other sermon that we'll have to get to later. But Jesus, are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, an invitation. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. And he's not saying go clean up and then come and get away with me. Come, no, get away with me and you'll recover your life. How big of a deal is that? The circumstances we're in, the place we're in our lives may be so dark and so hard. And Jesus says, come, spend some time with me and recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Imagine a Savior who comes into the world and he saves us, brings us salvation from ourselves, brings us salvation from the pit of hell and says, I'm not going to put anything heavy on you. Just come and follow me and find rest and find that you can recover your life. And he says, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. That's the gift of salvation that Jesus offers, a new life. The old is gone, the new has come, as the Apostle Paul wrote. And he's inviting himself today into your life, into your heart. He knows you're curious, and he knows you're tired. He knows you're burned out. And some of you, he knows you're tired of religion. And he's saying to you, come, come with me. Come and follow me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you hope and grace and mercy. Maybe you came here today and you were just hoping to get through this Easter service so you could get to lunch and the fun festivities of the afternoon. And I get it. I get it. I'm looking forward to a good lunch too. But today, this Easter, Jesus invites himself along. He invites himself along, saying, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house. Bob, Sue, Kathy, I'm coming with you to new life. He's inviting, he's saying, come and follow me, and I'll give you this rest. And today, this Easter, this very day, Jesus is inviting himself along. Not just for Easter lunch, but for a lifetime of change and renewal, recovery of your life. The worship team can come up. Some of you think, well, God would never want to be my friend. God would never invite himself to my house. Look what I've done. Look who I am. Look at what people have always told me that I am. Jesus surely wouldn't want to come into my life. The Son of God would never invite himself into my life. Well, put yourself in Zacchaeus' spot. Despised by his countrymen, knowing that he's a thief and that he's stealing from his countrymen. And here the Savior of the world walks into town and says, hey, you, I'm coming over. So we can't think that we're the ones that Jesus won't come to. Did Zacchaeus really deserve to have Jesus come to his house? Do I deserve Jesus' salvation? It's a gift. It's a gift that he offers to us. We don't have to deserve it. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to work for it. It's a free gift for all of us. A free gift for all of us. The gift of Easter. The empty tomb and Jesus' mission and salvation. That's the gift of Easter. And that's a gift that's for all of us. Every one of us in this room. Everyone watching online. The gift of Easter. The gift of salvation. And the greatest thing is, the only thing we have to do is receive it. Say, yes, Jesus, come in. Come into my heart. Come into my life and make these changes. Give me this recovery of life that you promised. And we know that God has not broken a promise yet. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. So today, I want to offer that opportunity for all of us. Examine where we are. And if we've let Jesus into our heart, and if he's knocking and he's wanting to come in, to give all of us a chance to say, yes, I receive this gift of Easter. I receive this salvation. I receive a mission for my life from Jesus. I receive this hope from an empty tomb. So if you would all bow your heads and go ahead and close your eyes if you don't mind. And I'm going to lead in a prayer and you can follow along. And I want to ask you to do it out loud. But here's the thing. At Joy Church, you don't have to pray alone, because we're all going to be praying with you. We'll all pray aloud. But if you have never prayed before and asked Jesus accepted the gift of Jesus to come into your heart and come into your life, today could be the day, the Easter, that changes everything for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for Easter. Thank you for the gift of the empty tomb. Thank you for the gift of your mission. We thank you, God, for the gift of salvation. God, the salvation that I need. The gift from you. Father, I repent for my sin, and I receive this salvation that you bring, this gift that you give. Father, thank you for new life. You have mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you prayed that for the very first time, you are a new creation. Jesus has come into your life, and like I say, he's never let us down before. He's never broken a promise. You aren't the one that's too far gone that he can't save. We'd love to hear from you. If you could, Kathy and I will be out back. If you could just stop by and just give us a nod or say, yes, I accepted Jesus today. And we'd love to meet everyone. Wish you a happy, happy Easter. We have a gift for you today, though. We talked about the gift of Easter, and we have a gift for everyone. And you know, something that can really help us stay focused on the gift of Easter. The ushers in the back have a rock like this that everyone can take one home. And this one says grace on it. Some of them say love. Some of them say blessed. Some of them say faith and joy. There are even some that say patience, if you're that person. So take one of our gifts and just, you know, as you use it on your desk, a paperweight or something, just remember the gift of Easter, the gift of the empty tomb, the gift of salvation. We love you here at Joy Church. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And because of the Jesus I know that walked out of the tomb, that left the tomb empty, I can assure you the best is yet to come. Have a great Easter. We'll see you next week. Enjoy your day. We love you.
We hope you enjoyed this message and were blessed by what you learned. If you'd like to hear more of our podcasts or to get more information about our church, head to our website at www.joychurchnh.com. We look forward to hearing from you and sharing with you next Sunday's sermon. Until then, we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it.